This is the Accidental Safety Pro brought to you by HSI. My name is Jill James, HSI's Chief Safety Officer. Today is part two of my conversation with Manti Michael Nota. If you missed part one, you might want to go back and have a listen. To me, Manti's story is about trust, grit, and leadership. I hope you hear those themes emerge as you listen to his incredible story in both parts. Professionally, you and I spend much of our time building trust with the people we serve. Were you amazed to hear the ways Manti built trust and how long it took him and the result at the end? In what ways have you successfully built trust, and what was the result? Manti's grit or strength of character shone through to me in both episodes. The way that he decided on an education that literally no one had ever pursued in his country amazed me, and how he applied it and built on it to better the health and lives of not only his community and neighboring country, but his family members who also worked in the mines, to me, is applied grit. Where have you leaned into your grit to accomplish something in our profession? I know you have. And leadership. It's not often you hear someone share how their life and their lives of the people they were leading were threatened by domestic militia, and how frightened they were, including Manti. Yet, in that moment, he knew he had to stay and lead calmly in order for all of them to survive. Our profession calls upon us to lead people through that which may seem uncertain. How do you hone your leadership skills? I hope you enjoy both part one and part two of this episode. Now, on with the show.
So, sure. I started working with this community, but the same time started working with this community, I started learning their language to make sure that I'll go together with them, but also changing my dressing. From wearing tie and suits and jeans and blah, blah, starting wearing it's a kind of Nigerian dress, kaftan. So you wear kaftan, you wear a cap, becoming like the tradition of these people. So area... I find Doctor Without Borders, they are doing treatment, they are doing health promotion, but we are to join now to work as one team following the people in the mining. And then after 6 to 7 months, we start seeing the result was going very well. So the same time, I was asked to move now to the big project whereby in Zamfara. And imagining this big project, it was a very big challenge. You can really see it was maybe 20 to 30 times the first project. And it is a driving from the Niger State to Zamfara State. You drive from 6 in the morning to around 7 in the evening.
Wow.
So I started without moving between the two projects. Yes. I started moving between the two projects after 7 months. And driving for almost 12 to 13 hours, passing inside the bush. And this area is already known like with the security problem, and people have been kidnapped, people have been lobbed on the way, people have been killed on the way. So I used to move together with a driver. We used maybe 2 cars. One car would drive maybe like almost 7 hours, and another one would join like a kiss movement. So, with 4 driver, you drive with 4 driver, 2 driver going and 2 driver on coming back. On the same journey, like 7 hours with 2 driver and another 7 hours with 2 driver. So, you can really see that it is very huge, very far, but also the Lord was not safe at all. But anyway, Doctor Without Borders, they have with their own system of... assessing and checking and preventing, making sure that you don't get any problem on the way.
Yeah. Did you stay safe, Manti, or did you ever run into security problems?
So one day I landed in security problem because in this Zamfara, as I said, the problem was It's huge. And one day I went around like 28 kilometers away from home, whereby it was on the processing site. And say on safer mining, what we used to do, we convert, because the main problem, it was for the miner to bring the ore at home, to bring the to process at home. Another problem which was causing the lead, it was to bring the clothes at home. This is for the para exposure, but also the children assessing the mining and keeping the ore and the material at home. So on the safer mining, what we are doing, we are trying to change. We are trying to change the ore processing from dry to wet, but also making all this activity in one place. So we are centralizing, removing the clasher and all the activities inside the community and putting away maybe around 2 kilometers to 3 kilometers away from the community. So one day, I visited one of the community, because by the time I went, earlier I say it was like around 4 villages which were walking by that time. So one of the villages was about 27 kilometers away from the base where I used to stay. So I went there, I was just doing my air sample to understand the exposure of the miner, but also trying to teach the miner to see how they're progressing. Because also one of the things we used to do, we used to train people in class. And after we train them in class, we have to allow them to go and do the practice. So we used to follow them to see if they are really doing the prevention part. And then one day when I was in this centralized area, there is hunter. In North Nigeria, there is a culture whereby men, they will go to hunt. And they would take a dog, take a gun and everything that they can, it can allow them to do hunting. So unfortunately, to the area where I was on the processing site is close to the bush. And unfortunately, this hunter came that day. Is about, because we used to have like a drilling of a borehole. So they come and fetch water, they enter in the bush. So after 5 minutes of entering the bush, we start hearing gun. So this hunter, they met with the bandit who were around that area, and they were doing meeting, and they feel like these bandits, they were attacked by those hunter, and they were not knowing if it's the hunter, because in North Nigeria they have the process, they have the group which is called vigilante, who normally look after the community and prevent about this mandatory activity. So the bandits, they thought these people are the vigilantes, so they start attacking and shooting. So I was in close fire. You see people running to a place, and in close fire for almost 30 minutes. And I see people shooting with AK-47, like 50 meters, like that. 50 meters is very close. So... trying to lie down, I took the the car which I was having in the field, and starting landing randomly to make sure that I land out around that area. But I succeed. I went to the district head, and then I talked to the district head, asked him what was happening. Then he started calling and blah, blah, like that. Then he managed to rescue the situation. But at the back, I was having a team of Occupational Knowledge International, and another team of Doctor Without Border, almost 18 people who were all crying by that time. They never hear about gun. Imagine being in this crisis. I'm the one who have to make the decision. It was not an easy time. So
no kidding.
I succeed to take the team out on that area, but with the assistance of the head of mission, but also the operational manager in Amsterdam of Doctor Without Border. Then we rescued the team, but it was not an easy. So we started coming. Everyone was crying. And when I was almost crying, I feel like if I will cry, I'm the leader of this team. Everyone
you
is going
cry.
To lose the hope.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
oh, man.
I rescued the team. I went back. And because the passion of helping the people was inside, after several weeks, I get back to the processing site and start training the mind and taking air sample like that. So I never forget this time in Nigeria because it was my first time learning because of GAN, and it was my first time learning learning because of escaping to be dying. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh,
this was my first time to be in Pro. Of course, Tanzania is a peaceful country, so we never see these things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Wow! Yes. Wow! And then all of a sudden, you're back to doing your work.
Yes.
And Menti, it sounds like, I mean, your work is you had just hazards around you that you would have never had anticipated with the violence, but you also had to overcome the trust issues with the people in the communities. You said you learned their language, you began dressing in the same way, and you were meeting with some of their leaders in the community to try to build trust, I'm guessing. And then you started to set up these processing centers to do things in a safer manner for the community. How long, I mean, that sounds like a really big job. I mean, how long does it take before you were starting to see some sort of positive impact? Because trust isn't built overnight, for sure.
Yes. So, as I said, on the first project, it took me 7 months. But this first project, as I said, it was Niger State. Niger State, at least some people understanding, the culture is really Muslim, it's really serious, but you cannot compare with the one in Zamfara. So in Niger, it took me 7 months, but in Zamfara, it took me almost for 2 years before people start understanding what I'm talking. Because the first time when I went there, people were in Zamfara were tired. Imagine they have lost. You find their family has lost maybe 4 kids with lead poison, and they never stop mining because this is the only likelihood they can get. And you see, by then the government were stopping them to do their mining, and they have seen many people who coming to ask them a lot of questions, but they don't see if they are getting help.
Mm-hmm.
They see their children from 2010. By then, we are talking is 2017, 2018. Children are undergoing treatment, creation therapy treatment. And you know, creation therapy treatment, there is 2 cores, 5 cores, and 19 cores. You find a kid in 8 years has been going to the hospital for 8 years.
Wow.
So children and mothers who are taking care of the children were tired already, and they don't trust anyone because they are feeling like this problem is for God and the problem never finish. And this is the area whereby a man is not allowed to see a wife of someone. So imagine, and children, people who are taking care around this area are women. So you work with the people who you are not allowed to see them until you are trusted. It was a little bit difficult. And by the time I'm going, Doctor Without Border, we are working only with the caretaker. The caretaker is the mother who are taking care. And the minor, who was the source of the problem, were not involved because the program was involving only children. So I was been there to make sure that I connect this part. I start discussing with the miners, and the miners, you know, is the people who were causing the problem, to join this part, because in North Nigeria, like Zamfara, the women has no power, and because of their culture, so they are not even allowed to decide on anything if the husband is not there. So first of all, the community are traumatized, they are tired, and they don't see if it is again important, it's again important for the Doctor Without Border to help. So they used to raise several protests, and one of the protests It happened the time when I was there. They are trying to say that it was even I'm snapping picture. You cannot even snap picture in this community. They say, no, you cannot do this. So one day, they lays up a protest that they don't want to see Doctor Without Border, including me from OKI, and other people treating their children because they believe this problem is from God. And they don't see, they are feeling like Doctor Without Border and every people who are coming there, they are making money from their children. As also in this program for 8 years, children were drained for blood to check the content of the lead inside their body.
Yeah.
So they feel like Doctor Without Border is draining blood to Seri, not even to treat the children. So,
oh, wow.
This community were ash. They don't want to trust anybody. So it was a kind like, but also they are fearing like maybe we can leak the information about how they are mining with to the government, and the government will come and take them, maybe to jail or somewhere. So they are like staying away.
Lose their jobs.
You go to the people and talk to them. They are on their explanation. They are like, stay away from us. We don't want to see you. Stay away from us. You don't want to see you. So it was like, how can I start building a relationship with this people? So as I said, in Niger, it was a kind of a little bit busy because the project is easy, because the project it was small. But in Zamfara State, it was hard. Like how I'm saying, the project was almost 30 times. But also even the approach in Zamfara State, it was almost maybe 100 times hard from where I'm coming from.
Wow.
So how did I build trust? First of all, I met the community leader. In North Nigeria, they have a system of having emir, king, the king of the area. So I met the king and explained the important and explained how I am different from the other people who used to come. And they even saying that me, I'm different from the other people who used to come because of 1, 2, 3, 4. So they should trust me and not the other people who has passed. They are saying, no, also there are other people who come and start saying like this, but at the end, they never do anything. So I met the chief of the area, and the chief normally has several village heads. So he invited the old village head. So I were to explain him again, I'm so-so person, I came to do this, and this is how we are going to do, and this is the way. Then after there, the village head, they call all the minor reader around those area. So the minor reader came. Also, I explained. It's a kind like 1 month you are to 2 months, you are just explaining people that this is how I'm going to do. Can you please give me an access? Uh-huh. And then other people say, okay, maybe we trust and see you. But if you don't do what we are thinking, we'll chase you anytime. Then from there, I started training the miner, training first the reader. So I have prepared some material to train the reader. What is the strategy of prevention of lead poison in that area? I start training them, and then I develop some material. And from those material, I even ask them if it is proper to train the people around that area. If it does not break the cultural and the traditional things of that area, is it proper or not proper? So at the end, they advise me, this is fine, this is not fine, this is removal, this is how it was. Then I use those leaders to call the other leader in the community. So if it is youth leader, women leader, a group of something leader, blah, blah, all of them. So I sit with them and train and ask them that I'm very sorry for what has been happening with the problem, but I'm very sorry for what has been happening for other people. You don't trust them. I'm asking for them, they should give me trust. I believe that I'm going to make change to the community.
Yeah.
So slowly, slowly, it was not an easy. This is, we are talking, before I start training, is almost 6 months already.
Building relationships.
Building relationship with this community. So, and At the end, they agree for me to start training the minor, but I start again with the minor leader only for them to train, and also agree with them that if those material is fine for them to train and how do they feel, does not break the culture. Because one of the problem in North Nigeria, if you break the culture, no one will accept for you to even be around that area.
Sure.
No one will accept. So, and imagine I'm coming from Tanzania. Of course, I'm from Africa. I have a few amount of, I know some cultures, but not like the one in North Nigeria. So
sure.
I were to learn the culture. I used to have one person called Haji Shehu Anka. This Haji Shehu Anka is the state officer from Environment, Department of Environment, who has been in loan with us. So I ask MSF to bring him to work with me for all this time. He used to be like my translator, but also I used to train him like to take over when I'm not there. So he was the one teaching me the culture from the scratch, that now you have to bend, now you have to shake hand with this, because in that area, even shaking of hand, you cannot with the women or with the other people. So there is another way how to do it. So he trained me on that. Then slowly I started building the trust. I start learning the training with the miner. I start following them. And then following them, of course, it used to be a challenge sometimes. Sometimes you can go to the house of someone and someone will hide. He say he don't want to see you. And sometimes someone will agree to come to the training and he will not come to the training. Or he will come after several minutes. He will see like this is not important. He will go and do some money. Imagine this area. The only thing they depend is mining, and you are bringing them to train a class of 2 to 3 hours. So
right.
It's not an easy task. So you prepare them maybe some soft drink and all about that. They will have a lunch, but they will complain for the whole day that if you are not paying us, you will not come to stay there. So slowly, slowly, I trained the miner. Almost 4,000 miner were trained.
Wow.
So this is, you are talking about the time of almost five to six years now. 2016,
oh
October.
Wow.
Up, I left Nigeria. This recent, it was around July. I have trained over 4,000 miner.
Wow.
And trained over 300 leader. And in this area, I have trained almost 1,000 caretaker. The caretaker we are talking is the women.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 1,000 caretaker. This is not the minor of 4,000. So if you plus that number, you get the huge number.
Yes,
almost 6,000
mm-hmm.
people.
Yes.
But
yes.
On this time, we have already trained a lot of state level officers to take over, who I was staying with them, and some were coming and going. So, and then when I see now, no protest again, because it reached the time, of course, they used to protest and they feel I'm like part of them. I started learning Hausa, as I said earlier. So I'm speaking their language now is almost 80%. So I can hear some, now I don't need even a translator sometime. For a few words, of course, I will need a translator, but most of the words I can catch up. And when they saw me dressing like them, following them closely, explaining them in the science way that this is the problem, this is how it started, testing, and how it was, and wearing, as I said, the clothes like them, taking their culture and discussing with them, but also changing the project. Instead of being the project of Doctor Without Border and Occupational Knowledge International, becoming their own project, owning their project. How owning their project? Because I trained some trainers from the same community. Imagine training someone who never go to school to explain the people on hazards of lead, how to prevent lead, how to mine safe. So I developed people who have interest from the group. Of course, some people who never go. So I developed some very small material, simple material for the awareness, whereby they can able to understand. So I come up with graphical and picture, whereby a person can explain and can give a class and the class will understand. So when they
sure,
saw that
pictures.
I'm among of them, that's whereby it was easy for them to trust me and give me access mm-hmm, to the community. Mm-hmm. So
and then
yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that you built a legacy so that you could walk away from the project, and
yes.
It could keep. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So after they allow me to start working, so they allow me even to teach their wife. So it's not allowed in that community
yes.
for a man to see a woman or a wife of someone. But me,
sure.
I was allowed with the chiefs. And even the chiefs of the women themselves, they accept that I can train because they already see that my tension of being there is not about how they were thinking. It's very different.
Yeah,
so I
yeah.
built trusted, and it reached the point that even if someone will snake with the bag of war in the community, I will get a person who will come and inform me, you know, man, today I have met someone with a bag of ore, and this bag of ore is in this house, in this compound. So I will call someone, and we discuss. They will find someone from the community who will go to remove. So they start feeling like shy and feel like I'm among the people around that area. Honestly, they give me a lot of appreciation, but also they treat me like them now. So in Nigeria, in North Nigeria, they don't treat me like a person from outside. They used to treat me like I'm a native of that area. So
so
it gave me a chance even through the medical now, because during that time when I'm going, they used to take out the children in the program because they are tired. So I was among the people who used to solve this case, to call them and negotiate with them why they are taking. So we end up no default. Before, we used to have like 300 children were in default. Imagine the program had thousands of children, 3,000 mm-hmm. children, and the people who have undergone treatment almost close to 6,000. So it's a huge
wow.
community. It's,
yes.
it's a huge program. It used to be a huge program. And imagine treating of these children. It is a lot of money, because a unit of creation therapy of Saxima, it's around 2.7 euro. So it's a lot of money. A child has to undergo 19 calls or 5 calls, but you can find by that time many children has been in program, even has repeated 54 times.
Sure, sure. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
For 8 years, so a child has undergone almost 54 calls.
Wow. And Manti, what are the statistics now that, you know, you've been doing this work for so many years? What was the change? What was the shift? What, because I know you had told me previously that you're getting ready to shut down your part of this work and let what you did continue. But what was the result so that you knew it was okay to go?
Yes. So after training the miner, over 4,000 miner, but also training the people to take over the job, creating this community awareness, but also creating trust to the community. Community start fearing, but also changing the community responsibility to become their own responsibility. And changing, as I mentioned, that we used to have a processing site whereby we have water, we have converted the dry machine to wet machine, and area we check the air sample to the lead and the dust and the silica exposure. The lead exposure, it was almost 30 something times the normal standard. The silica exposure was around 40 something times the normal standard. So we managed to reduce the airborne exposure about 95% reduction of lead and 80% reduction of silica. This was very huge.
Wow.
So earlier we took the air sample, and after the implementation of all these things, we managed to find that this was reduction of lead and silica. but also the blood lead level to the minor. Earlier when I started the program, I asked the minor to be taking samples every after 3 months. So we start a program of ADAT. And even to start a program of ADAT, it was to make sure that the ADAT also, this minor, are part of this program. Because, as I mentioned earlier, we used the Doctor Without Borders used to work there and the telegraphic. But they pollute again. So to make sure that they don't pollute, but to make sure that lead is a problem even to them. So we created a program of blood lead sample for the adult minor, about 61. But after 18 months, we see 32 reduction of blood lead level. This was without any creation therapy to the adult. So, and then we see the number of children who were in a program, the blood lead level going down from 1,000 and 1,000 until this July I'm leaving, it's not more than 50 children who are receiving creation therapy. There are some children who are in the program, but they are waiting. That's for some criteria, but they have been in the program for many years, and their blood level is not increasing. So, but before when I went there, we are spending, Doctor Without Borders, spending a lot of money. Every month is a lot of money. Imagine treating about almost 2,000 children in the program with lead. It's not an easy task. So until now I'm leaving is about less than 50 children who were receiving creation therapy. So this was a very big success. But in Niger State, from 2016 to 2018, we even closed the project because of the success. So I remain with the Zamfara State, which was another the big project. So,
sure.
But also you can see the statistic of environment. We used to have 100 homes who are contaminated. So I find they were already launched the program called the Safe Remediation, whereby also the father of the house were responsible to clean the house. Of course, imagine earlier they did with the government and the people contaminated again. So they launched this program, but people used to protest. They don't do the they don't agree to do the self remediation. But with this building trust, it was very easy for them to agree and commit even to do the remediation. For someone who understands how to do remediation of lead, is not easy task. It's just removing the top layer of the lead of the soil at home. You imagine you have a land of maybe 2,000 square meter. You need to, it is all contaminated, and you need to remove maybe 5 centimeters of it. It's not an easy task. So they used to have a lot of protest of the fathers who refused to remove, but with this building trust involving them and all about what we have done, they started agreeing doing the self-remediation. But also, we managed to reduce the number of homes which were contaminated, and the one which were contaminated also, the miner agreed to do the self-remediation. So until I'm leaving, it's not less maybe than 20 to 30 compounds who were contaminated in this community.
Wow.
So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. So it was huge. But the community were trusted in such that they feel like they are part of the program. As I said, we used to have children who were removed in the program with their mothers or their fathers because they are tired with the program. So we used to have hundreds and hundreds of children defaulter every month. But when I'm leaving Nigeria on that program, it was very few. And if there is a chance, maybe a child has left in the program, maybe he has traveled to another state. But within the state, no. Because even the one outside of the state, they used to come and collect a sample because of the relationship we built. I started with the minor when they are very bitter. But the relationship was good, and they are even enjoying to come for the program and help the program, taking responsibility, doing maintenance. They even contributed some of them pampu for the borehole where we used to build. We used to build like a kind of a store to store the material. They were participating. They can build the whole build, and then we just provide the technical aspect and maybe build some, provide some material. But you can see the store were being made by the local material. So most of the material they are the one providing as part of the program. So they were feeling this is the part of the program. Even though, before I go, there was a very big history of the NGO or another NGO come and do a certain project. And after the NGO has left, no one will follow. But on this safer mining, I did it different because I involved them on the program from the scratch, bringing the material, sharing of the material, and contributing. In Doctor Without Border, there was no aspect of someone can contribute something. He's the owner of the program is Doctor Without Border. But me, I changed this ethics to become a community-based program.
Right.
So in Safer Mining, I did. Of course, you can find there was someone from Telegraphic. By that time was Dr. Simba, and now, of course, he's the country representative of Nigeria. He also did a great job on this, bringing the community-based ownership. So we are working together and making sure that everything was on success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Menti, yes. it's such an amazing story. It's just phenomenal. And I know we're running long on our time today. I just wanted to ask maybe a couple of more questions. I'm wondering, you know, you spent so much time, so many years building trust in the community, and with the tribal leaders in the area, the kings that you talked of. Did the community express their appreciation to you in some way?
It's yes, and this was not even expected. Before I left around July, it was June 30. The community called me, and they were feeling very sad that we are planning to close the project. And I was among the people who will be living and working remotely like now. So they suggested for me to be given appreciation, and this appreciation, it was so emotional because they selected for me to be given a chief title, chieftains. And in North Nigeria, not very common for a person from outside of North Nigeria, even from the different state, or different tribal, to be given a title with the tribal, another tribal. So they suggested for me to be given the first title, and this was among the village. As the village I left when I was working, there already remained three. So one proposed a title of a king of Heath of that village. And after a few hours, another one also come from the different different village also proposed that I should be given a warrior, a title of a winner of the town. And another village also proposed to be given another title of a king of Heath again. So this was very wonderful for me. So I agree, I accept the title. Then they took the king. The king was happy. He was even surprised that he see like this never happened. He only gave the title, but the community has already given me title. So they were going to ask for the king for me to be given those titles officially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was surprised and said that I did a great job, and I built this community. And he also has no problem. He accept to give me those titles because it's not easy for someone from outside. And in the history of Doctor Without Border in Nigeria since 1970, probably I'm going to be I'm the first person to be given three titles in one time.
Wow.
So there is one person called Dr. Simba, who was given because of remediation one time. And another, my colleague also, Dr. Benjamin, who was also given in Niger. Of course, also I was proposed to be given in Niger. Because of the security, I never been there after they have proposed. Mm-hmm. So I missed that one. But in Zamfara, I left with three titles. And this was a big honor. You cannot get a title if you are outside of this community. And also you are expert. It's two different things, but this community decided to appreciate and give me title. And this title is a huge thing because all the people, they believe you are the king and they will be bending to you and they will advertise to everyone in all the community. You need to have a horse and all about. It's a very big ceremony.
Oh, wow.
Very big ceremony.
I don't think I'm absolutely certain I have never met an industrial hygienist before who is also a king of health and a warrior.
Yes, yes.
That is fantastic.
Yes. So I really appreciate for this community. Yeah. From flighting to crying, because the day I was leaving, many people cry. I feel very sad there. I feel like maybe I'm not going to come back in Nigeria again. Because how they were crying, but I have already built a relationship. Even me, I feel very emotional because seeing people adult, somebody with 60 years, seeing someone with 50 crying is not an easy task. Seeing people, teenagers, they are crying. It's like you are going to close everything. No, I was like, no. My career will continue. Of course, one of my career remained there, who is on ground, and me, I'm supporting him from far.
Sure.
But I really feel that what I went to do, it was a small task, seeing being a part of this community, being used to this community, people crying because of you, giving you title, which never been their tradition to give title from someone who outside.
Yes.
I was very honored.
Because you saved their lives and the lives of their children and preserved their health. Mandy, it's just phenomenal. Last question for you. I know that you're working on your PhD right now. You're in a doctoral program. Good luck with that in the next phase of your career. Is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners? Any words of wisdom? Anyone that you need to thank before we end today?
Yes. Before I round up, I stayed in this community for almost 6 years, so I have having a very big lesson. But I feel like on the middle of this community, when I was working around 2019, I decided to start my PhD based on lead poison and silica exposure prevention. So it's like assessing of the technology. Of course, the problem of this area of lead problem was the technology. So assessing of the technology and coming up with the new proposal in engineering designing of this technology to make sure that to prevent lead poison, but also prevent silica exposure. Because earlier when I was doing the prevention of lead, I was also doing the prevention of silica and other hazard like cyanide, ergonomic, noisy. So I was training the miner. So I feel like it was a big lesson, and I cannot come out in this big opportunity and a big saving of life. Of course, it was challenge of life and all. So I feel like I will be remembering. So I decided to initiate and ask for the and apply for the PhD. And of course, my PhD is based on this lead poison, but also in Nigeria and Tanzania. I'm also doing a combination of the same assessing in Cameroon. And this is to come out with something tangible as a lesson learned to avoid something like this to happen, if not in Africa, all over the world. Because, as I said, industrial hygiene in Africa is not much common, like also in Tanzania is not much common. No many people who have been started. So, and like in Tanzania, we have a lot of mining. So who knows, one day can happen like this. So we want to make sure that I should prevent on this. So I feel like this can be part of dedication. As I've decided to do prevention, I should have something tangible to live in the community and also the other part of the world. So, but also another, because of this, you can really imagine during the COVID, I stayed there for 9 good months without sneaking out in this community. In this area, I am not allowed to go outside of the gate. I have to go outside the gate when I'm inside the car. I cannot walk for all these 6 years, almost 6 years, 5 to 6 years. So this was a big lesson. So I feel like that it's honor to have something that I can live and people will lead and like that. So with this all challenge, as you ask me the word of appreciation or anything I want to say, I will take this chance to appreciate community first of this area, who give me access because they rejected for many people and they accept to do this job. I mean, many people went there and they never succeed. Some people, they even stay for 1 week because of the security, the challenge of the project. But me, I stayed for 5 years. So it was not an easy. So I really appreciate for them. Headed by late Baba Galadima, who was a good friend of me, but he died. But also the king of Zamfara, Zamfara Anka, the Emmy of Anka. But also I take this chance also to say the word of appreciation to Dr. Simba. Dr. Simba was among the Eri people who went there for lead poison. And he introduced me to this community. And he was, because he was having already good outstanding, and he was having even a title, as I mentioned, they give him a title Eri. So he play also his own part and helped me to do many things. And my colleague Benjamin, who was a project coordinator, who we worked together for also 5 years, who I left him there, he's still closing the project up to now. He has stayed, me five, him, he has stayed for 6 years because I find him earlier. So it's not an easy task. So I went to join him and make sure that we work together. But also the state level officers represented by Alhaji Shehu Anka, who has been working with me throughout these 5 years, translating. Imagine if we could have translating different or teach me different Hausa, I could have bring problem even in the community. But he stick on what he's supposed to do, and finally, I is among the people who I left him a regards of what I was been doing, and he's the one taking care on the ground. And I hope he'll be the one, he's in charge of everything now on the Safer Mining program, helped by Benjamin. But in the good, in another special way, I could have expressed the word of appreciation to my direct supervisor, Perry Godson, who has been a backbone of this program, supporting me from US, coming on the ground, but encouraging me. Imagine passing through all these things. He has been, oh, Manti, you can make it. You can still go it for this. So he did a good job. He did a good job. I really appreciate on him. And without forgetting my wife, my family. It's not easy to leave the family for 5 years. And she did it. She make it. Imagine a husband being outside of the program, saving people in the bush, whereby the security is not guaranteed. There is replacement of people who are running. And these people are running from kidnapping. They don't have food, but struggling to make them understand on the safer mining, it was not a good task. So sometimes I feel maybe tired, but she agree, we talk. But sometimes I don't even talk to her because of being tired. So I really appreciate with her on the online rounding up these professional people who has take me throughout this specialist. And the first person who give me chance in the Bulyanhulu Gold Mine, Dr. Mtaita, and with Damian, who was the industrial hygiene too, and some friend, Dr. Wendt, who we work together, and also my professional mentorship in the university. Imagine now I'm doing the third degree with them. I did with them on the first degree and second degree. And now I'm doing the third degree, Professor Kasenga and Dr. Mburigwe, but also the entire team of Aris University. Recently, they even appreciate me. They even published that they accept the award and they congratulate me from the university. So this is a huge thing for them. And all friends who contributed, my family also, my brothers, Musa, Matias, my father, of course, my sister, Nema, and the other people. So I think this is the end. Maybe if you have
yes, I think it is.
Yes.
I think it is, Matty. Thank you so much for sharing, gosh, a pioneering story that's so inspiring, but more so impactful. And the lives that you've saved is just phenomenal.
Yes. Maybe before before I end up, on the lesson learned, have initiated, probably you should have seen that I'm director, executive director of one of the NGO. So have initiated one of the NGO here in Tanzania to make sure that I cover help the miner also in Tanzania or in the other part of this. So this part of the lesson learned, I don't want to leave this lesson learned like this.
Matty, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you all for spending your time listening today. And more importantly, thank you for your contribution toward the common good, making sure your workers, including your temporary workers and family members, make it home safe every day. If you haven't subscribed or want to hear past or future episodes, you can subscribe in iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, or any other podcast player you'd like. We'd love it if you could leave a rating and review us on iTunes. It really helps us connect the show with more and more health and safety professionals like Manti and I. Special thanks to Naeem Jaraisi, our podcast producer. And until next time, thanks for listening.